You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse 8. All of our campuses online with us connecting today. Man, it's awesome. Welcome in Cypress and Siena and downtown and Espanol and so many exciting things happening with all of our campuses. We've been in a series about marriage is where we've been in 1 Peter chapter 3. We talked the first week about wives. We talked the second week about husbands. And this week we're going to talk about how to have wedlock instead of deadlock is what our goal is. Wedlock instead of deadlock, because there's differences. If you haven't noticed, there's a difference between men and women. There's a lot of differences. So what ends up is these differences cause deadlock instead of wedlock. God has brought two together to become one. He hasn't brought two together for you to argue over which one you became. You didn't become the man, you didn't become the woman, you became something different. You became something in God's eyes that's a marriage that's tied together. And those differences unite us instead of divide us. The differences are good. Deadlock is bad. The differences give us dependence upon God. They refine us in our character. Do you know that God has rigged this thing, marriage? He's rigged it. He's put it together that the only way that it'll happen is if Jesus Christ is the center. That's the only way. And even with that, it can be difficult. He's rigged it because men and women are so different. Give you a couple differences. Usually, this is how it works. Not always, but there's differences in the differences as well. But typically, this is the way it works. Women, you build relationships through sharing emotions. Men, we build relationships through shared activities. So ladies are going to share emotions and men are going to share activities. Secondly, you'd have this, that ladies typically use more words. They speak more detailed. Men are more concise with short language. It's been said that men are bullet points and women are paragraphs. Men are bullet points and women are paragraphs. That's probably true in a lot of relationships. Ladies, you're more detailed and we're more concise in what we're saying. Men, we fear disrespect and failure. Ladies, you fear isolation. So when you end up in these places of different fears, different ways of communication styles, different ways of bonding and building relationships, men build through activities, women build through emotions, men build through short and concise bullet points, women like paragraphs and sentences that run on and on and on. Men fear disrespect and failure. Women fear isolation. That's a lot of differences to come together, isn't it? But God can do something great in us, and he can move in that, and he can make that relationship come together. Toby Mac is a Christian rapper, and here's what he says about his wife and his marriage. I love sunsets, but she likes sunrise. I'm always running late, but she's always on time. I like U2, and she likes Coldplay. But something tells me we're going to be okay. Because she was made for me. You gave her to me. You said I need to hold it loose, but I so want to squeeze. She's just right for me and for the life for me. I can't believe I get to call her mine. She was made for me. She was made for me. She was made for me. She likes sunrise. You like sunsets. It doesn't matter. All those differences can come together. When they come together, it can be a beautiful thing, but we need some teaching. We need some help on putting these things together. And so if you're a single, I want you to take notes on how to kind of put this thing together. If you're married and you're on the brink, listen up. If you're just needing a tweak, listen up. If you're divorced, I don't want you to feel a bunch of guilt. If you're a widow or a widower, I want you to look back with a glee and a thought of the days that God gave you. Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 8, and he's going to take it now, Peter is going to take it from specifically about husbands and wives to everybody in general, but this is a husband and wife passage as well. Look what it says, verse 8. Now finally, all of you, so everybody needs to pay attention, but it's coming right on the heels of the husband and wife. All of you should be like-minded and sympathetic. You should love the believers. Be compassionate and humble, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult. But on the contrary, give a blessing, since you were called for this so that you can inherit a blessing. Let's take just those first two verses. This is the disposition of wedlock instead of deadlock. The disposition of wedlock instead of deadlock. He's going to give us three things that we're going to group together. Three things. The first of which is this, that we should be unified teammates. We should be unified teammates. It's not going against each other. It's going for each other. My wife and I put it like this. We say, if we were synchronized swimmers right now, we would be getting a 2 is what would happen. We're not on the same page. We're not doing the same motions. I'm doing this and you're doing that. Some days we're synchronized swimmers, we're getting an 8, getting a 10, whatever it is. But some days it's getting a 2. But we've got to be unified teammates. We're not in competition with one another. We're not at odds with one another. We say this as well in our marriage. We got it from a movie. We didn't make it up, but we say this. I choose us. I choose us. Whatever the battle is, whatever the fight is, whatever's going on, I choose us. Is it this or is it that? I want barbecue, you want quinoa. I choose us, okay? Let's figure this thing out. So we've got to be unified teammates in this. And being unified teammates in this, this makes a huge difference in the way then we parent, doesn't it? It's important to be unified teammates in your parenting as well. If you're unified in your marriage, that's got to be the first thing. Then you're unified in your teammates as parents to be able to say, well, what'd your mom say about that? What'd your dad say about that? Let's talk together. Let's get a little plan here and understand what's going on so that we can be unified in that to be teammates and unified. I've been asking at the end of our services, and we're going to do it today as well, that the couples would hold hands as we worship together at the end of the message. A couple weeks ago, what happened was just right down here in the front, about 5 rows back at the Loop campus, this one couple, they had their daughter in between, and it was the husband and it was the wife, and I said, would you hold hands with your spouse? And what I saw is they held hands with their spouse, or with each other, and they lifted up their hands in worship, and underneath was their daughter. And I thought, how protective and wonderful must that feel to that little girl? It was like a rooftop. The dad's arm going this way, the mom's arm going this way, and it created a rooftop arch, if you will, a peak as they worshiped, and the daughter sat underneath that. The teammates in the marriage to be the teammates in the parenting changes everything, changes everything. You are teammates. You're on the same team. You're on the same team. There was a little boy, and he was asked to help being an usher at a wedding. He was a little bit small, a little bit too young to do this. But, you know, if you can throw some kids into the wedding, it makes it a lot cuter, right? So throw some kids in there, and if they mess up, everybody kind of giggles. It's a good thing. So they got this little boy to be an usher because they thought it'd be cute for this little guy to take people down the aisle and seat these men and women, these couples. And so they coached him a little bit, and they said, okay, here's what you need to do. When somebody walks up, you just ask him this question. Are you a guest of the bride or the groom? And that'll determine where they sit in the worship center. So are you a guest of the bride or the groom? Do you got it? Got it. No problem. Well, they were absolutely beside themselves when they realized what he was asking people when they walked up. He'd look at them and he'd say, whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? But in marriage, it's like that, isn't it, sometimes? Whose side are you on? And the man goes and gathers his buddies and the lady goes and gathers her friends and we determine whose side we're on. It ends up being a battle. It's not about being a battle. It's about being teammates in marriage. It's about being teammates in marriage. I love it about my wife that if I'm going to preach on something difficult or if it's a big deal or whatever, she feels nervous like I feel nervous. She feels it like I feel it. She feels like she almost preached the message too, just going through it with me. Wives, I hope you feel like that with your husband's problems at work or challenges at work or whatever it is. There's a teammate aspect. I asked her one time, I said, what would you do if I got up there and I started preaching and everybody just started throwing tomatoes at me and they're just throwing them at me and they're booing? And I said, what would you do? And my wife's a little thing. She said, I'd stand up in front of you and I'd block them. That's what I'm talking about, right? It's a teammate. That's a teammate that's there with that. You are teammates. And that's why Peter begins and he says, now be like-minded and be sympathetic. Be together in this. The second thing he tells us is this, be connected to the believers. Do you see what it says in verse 8? And you should love the believers or the brethren, the brothers, some of your versions say. Peter's speaking to this young church. It's about the 60s AD. A lot of persecution is coming their way. This isn't a worldwide movement at this point. This is just coming out of the ground, organic Christianity at this point in the church. And so he says, I want you to love the believers. I want you to be connected to the believers. What is that? That's the church. I want you to be connected to the church. And so I want to encourage you and tell you this, for your marriage, you need the church. You need believers around you. You need to be connected. If it's not our church, then find a church you can connect with and get deeply involved. Because what that will do is that will show you your friendships will develop, your encouragement will develop, who your wife's hanging out with, who the husband's hanging out with. Show me your friends and I will show you your priorities. Show me your friends and I will show you your priorities. That goes for young and that goes for old. When we're connected with the believers, when we love the believers, it puts around us people that are struggling together for Jesus and saying, I want God to be a part of my life. I want Jesus to guide my steps. I want my marriage to be what God wants my marriage to be. And so I want Jesus to do this. So we surround ourselves. Are you involved in a life Bible study? Are you connected in a smaller grouping? Are you connected with other men and women that can pray for you and with you, and you can do stuff together as couples and as individuals? Peter is saying, it's straight there from the Word of God, love the believers. I have a pastor friend that I met with, and we were talking church, as you know, guys kind of talk shop, and he said this, we've quit measuring attendance, and we've started measuring connectedness. I thought, man, that's good. Not measuring attendance. Attendance is one thing. You can attend, and we're so glad that you attend. We're just honored that you would choose to attend our church. It's awesome. It's your church, our church all together. But there's a difference in attendance and connectedness. Connected is different. It's deeper. There's roots that go in. Attendance is just I pop into Cypress when it's convenient. I show up at Siena if I'm not playing golf that day. I show up at downtown if I'm not doing anything else. I show up at Espanola, show up at the Loop, whatever it is. Connected is this part is my family. Now, Kelly and I did something interesting. When we first got married, I was speaking here on Sunday nights before the interim. So Brother John was the pastor at that time. And I would come on Sunday Nights Alive, if some of y'all remember back in the day that. And I would speak at Sunday Nights Alive. And we just fell in love with this church. And we decided that we were going to go on a marriage retreat with this church that we did not attend and didn't even live in the same town as. But we had fallen in love with the people, and so we went. I was going to seminary at the time. We were just trying to make it through seminary. We were young, married, first marriage retreat we've ever been on. We went with Houston's First Baptist Church up at the Sheraton on the North Loop, right up there by 290, and we went and had a great time. And you know what that did? That did two things. As I look back, it was God beginning to plant a seed for the love of this church in my heart and what his plan would be for our lives. And number two, it was me saying, I want to get around those kind of people. Because those kind of people encourage me to be the kind of man of God I want to be. And so I want to encourage you and tell you, your marriages bless my marriage. Seeing people walk around here that have been married, a guy told me after a service previous to this, he said, I've been married 59 years. We just celebrated our 59th anniversary. Where else do you hear talk like that? At the mall? At the office? Every once in a while, but in the church. And being in love and connected with the brethren in the church is going to be a blessing to you. There's models here of God's work in the church. Number three, compassionate and humble is what he gives us. So love the believers. And then he says in verse 8, he says, and be compassionate and be humble. See, this prevents hard-heartedness. Small bricks build big walls. Small bricks build big walls. And we end up in our marriages a lot of times getting hard-hearted to our spouse. How can the one that we've pledged the most to, pledged our deepest love to, how can we be so hard-hearted towards? Ladies, be compassionate to your husband when he's going through a difficult time. Men, be compassionate to your wife when she wants to talk and share her emotions with you. Be compassionate and listen to what's happening. Be compassionate and be humble. This prevents hard-heartedness. Kelly and I have in our marriage just a policy that we always kiss goodnight every night, no matter what. And sometimes, you know, we're maybe a little bit in a tiff, a little bit upset with each other. Some things you can't just get everything done before you go to sleep. But the Word of God does tell us, don't let the sun set on your anger. Because if you go to sleep mad, you're going to wake up in the morning worse. So that means you solved everything, but you can at least go, we good? We're good? Okay. Kiss goodnight. And to be able to have compassion and humility, to lay it down, it takes humility. Martin Luther says, a man can become more like Jesus in a marriage than he can in a monastery. Why? Because you got to have humility. You got to say, I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I shouldn't have. You know what? I disagree, but I choose us. And to lay it down and to be humble with one another is a great aspect. Compassionate and humble. What if that was the explaining words of our marriages? Instead of, I'm going to get my way and I'm going to make it happen. Small bricks build big walls. And we can end up through the years getting bitter against one another. Compassionate and humble. Sarah Groves has a wonderful song. You ought to listen to it. You ought to download it. It's called Roll to the Middle. Here's what it says. It says, we just had World War III here in our kitchen. We both thought the meanest things, and then we both said them. We shot at each other until we lost ammunition. This is how I know our love. This is when I feel its power. Here in the absence of it, this is my darkest hour. When we're both of us are hunkered down and waiting for the truce. But all the complicated wars, they end pretty simple. Here when the lights go out, we roll to the middle. No matter how my pride resists, no matter how I feel this wall is true, no matter how I can't be sure that you're going to roll in too, no matter what, I'm going to reach to you. And that's what happens. Sometimes you got to roll to the middle of the bed in that moment and say, I'm sorry. Let's lay that down. I want to walk with humility and I want to honor you. I want to be submissive to you. I want to sacrifice to you, for you. And in that, to be able to roll to the middle. Are we compassionate? Are we humble? Are we building bridges? Or are we building walls with our comments towards one another? Are we building bridges or building walls? Because it makes a huge difference. We're synchronized swimmers. Are we getting a 2? Are we getting an 8? How long will we be unrepentive of that and lack compassion in those things? Verse 9 through 12 is going to give us another aspect of it. It's going to give us another thing of being able to say, here's the words and the deeds of how this whole thing plays out. Look at verses 9 through 12. Not paying back insult, evil for evil or insult for insult, but to the contrary, give a blessing. Since you were called for this, so that you can inherit a blessing. So not evil for evil or insult for insult. Verse 10 is going to be about words. Verse 11 is going to be about actions. For the one who wants to love life and see good days. Isn't that you? I want to love life and see good days. How do I do it? Must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And he must turn away. Verse 11, he must turn away from evil and do what is good. This is our actions. He must seek peace and pursue it because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their request. But the face of the Lord is against those who do what is evil. Our words and our deeds matter. Our words and our deeds matter. What do we do in our words and our deeds? See, we have to relate instead of retaliate. We have to relate instead of retaliate. I want you to say that phrase with me. You ready? The count of three. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Relate instead of retaliate. Every campus, again. Relate instead of retaliate. We've got to relate together instead of retaliating against each other. That makes the huge difference. My grandmother was asked at the 50th anniversary, their wedding anniversary, the kids put on a 50th anniversary. One of the grandkids raised his hand and said, Grandma, can I ask you a question? How did you do it in having a great marriage over 50 years? And the grandmother said this, on our wedding day, I decided that I was going to make a list of his 10 greatest faults, and I was going to choose to overlook them for the rest of our marriage, for the sake of our marriage. So I chose the 10 of my husband's faults, and for the sake of my marriage, I would overlook them. So another grandchild, probably one that everybody was going, shh, don't let him talk. He raised his hand, said, well, what were Grandpa's 10 greatest faults? And the grandmother said this, you know what? I never really got around to the list. Every time he would do something wrong, I would just say this. Well, it's lucky for him that's on the list. Wouldn't that be great if we just had a top 10 of things we weren't going to get upset about with our spouse? Things that we're not going to get upset about that they've done. We just had a top 10 list. We just said, you know what? It's on the list. And we related instead of retaliating. You know, we retaliate all the time in our thoughts and marriage with she never and I always. I'll show her, you know what? She's always doing this. I'm going to show her. I'm going to do similar thing, same thing. I had a friend that said this. He goes, I'm so tired of my wife leaving her shoes all over the house. Everywhere I walk, there's shoes all over the house. So what I'm going to start doing is leaving the yard equipment all over the yard. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave the lawnmower one place and the weed eater another place and the hedge clippers in the middle of the driveway, and I'm just going to get her back and show her all this stuff. Why do you think that's going to go? That's not going to go real well. Well, she always keeps this side of the sink dirty. I'm just going to dirty my side and show her. He's always spending a bunch of money. I'm going to show him, and I'm going to spend a bunch of money too. He never listens, so I'm going to quit listening to him. He never cooks, so I'm going to quit cooking too. And we end up in this retaliation back and forth, and World War III goes on. And he says, don't retaliate. Don't return evil for evil or insult for insult. What you do is you return good for evil. You return good for evil. Now, hopefully in your marriage, it's not evil, right? I mean, maybe you're like, I don't know. You don't know my wife, you know. But good in this and blessing in this. I choose us. I'm going to choose to say I love you instead of getting into this fight. We're going to take this and go in a different way. This word where it says here, it says to pursue peace is what it said in the scriptures. It said in all his days that you must keep your tongue for evil. And in verse 11, and seek what is good and pursue it. That word for pursue, let me tell you what it means. Peace means an agreement between people. This is a harmony, a commentator says, about this is what harmony is all about. Such harmony does not happen naturally. Believers must pursue it. The verb is a hunting term to mean pursue with intensity, determination, and persistence. Believers have to have this as their goal and their calling and their assignments to pursue peace. You've got to pursue peace. How do you pursue peace? You pursue peace by holding hands and going on a walk together. You pursue peace by praying together. You pursue peace by agreeing on things that you really began in disagreement on. You pursue peace by meeting in the middle. That's how you do these things. Good for evil. And then the last one here, blessing for insult. Blessing for insult. So we give a blessing back for the insult. You know, a study was done of marriages that made it, marriages that didn't make it. And they looked and they said, what is the percentage of put downs in that marriage? You know, the roll of the eyes, the, oh, you don't do this. And, you know, just putting that spouse down. What's the percentage? It's interesting. The marriages that made it, the percentage was 5%. Five out of every 100 comments was a put down. Okay? So five out of 100 comments was a put down. The marriages that didn't make it, it was simply 10 out of 100 comments was a put down. Now, I would have thought it'd been like 40. Just 5% difference pushed it over. Are we building bridges? Are we building walls? Blessings instead of insults. Blessings instead of insults. Forgiving one another and letting it be a blessing. Ruth Graham put it like this, Billy Graham's wife, she said, a good marriage is the union of two forgivers. To which I respond and say, what did Billy do to you, Ruth? I mean, you talk about a good husband to have. I mean, we had to do something. Marriage is between two forgivers. Secondly, a Jamaican proverb, before you marry, keep both eyes open. After you marry, shut one eye. You just got to look over things. Not everybody's got easy marriages. Some have very difficult marriages and very difficult personalities coming together. God has rigged it to require Jesus Christ and being connected in the body of Christ through his church. Now, through all of this, I've shared a lot of the little, you know, trying to be transparent about us having little tips and fights. And man, Kelly and I, we've got a great marriage. I love her. Amazing, amazing woman of God. It's awesome. 20 years coming up this summer in August 2nd. It's going to be awesome. We're glad about it. But you know what? There's still times in our marriage that we walk up to each other and go, let me give you a hug. Everybody's got to work through these things. But in the midst of that, we still can say, I choose us. We're teammates, and let's let our relationship build so that we can see the blossoming of that, and in our home, we can be worshipers holding hands with our children underneath, giving safety and security as we worship the Lord together. Last thing I want to tell you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the greatest marriage you could ever be a part of is a marriage between you and Christ. Not in a romantic sort like we have on earth between husbands and wives, but a marriage between you and Jesus Christ, of him sacrificing his life for you and dying on the cross and paying the price, and you submitting your life to him and receiving his salvation and him washing you clean of Jesus doing his work in your life. That's what it's about. And that makes the difference in our lives, to know Jesus as Savior. If you're here and you need to pray with somebody, if you need to join the church at any of our campuses, join the church today. It's biblical to be a part of a body of Christ. And if our church isn't the church for you, there's a lot of great churches in our city. Find one and plug in and be connected. Don't just be an attender, be connected. Come and pray even for your marriage. We'd love to help you in any way. Here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, all of our campuses, we're going to close in a time of invitation. There'll be people down front at all campuses that you could come and pray with and pray for. You can come down to the front of any of our campuses and pray together. My wife are going to be the first ones to come right there and get on our knees as a married couple and pray in this moment. It may mean you've got a great marriage that you come down and pray. We're not going to judge you. It's okay. But let's go to the Lord and let's choose Him as we let marriage be wedlock instead of deadlock. I like sunset, she likes sunrise. I'm always running late and she's always on time. But she was made for me. You gave her to me. She's a gift from God.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.